From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, May 4th, 2018. And on this day, another GOP attempt to block ranked choice voting in Maine. Maine's public advocate is calling for a stepped-up investigation of CMP billing issues. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Maine Republicans have filed another legal challenge targeting ranked choice voting, the new tabulation system that will be used in next month's primary election. After formally declaring opposition to ranked choice voting at their state convention in Augusta today, party officials then filed a lawsuit in federal court to block its use in the GOP primary, arguing that the party should determine how nominees are elected. Mal Leary reports.
Republicans in the legislature have consistently opposed ranked choice voting. Republicans in the state Senate filed a suit to overturn the law, but the state Supreme Court ruled that ranked choice voting will be used in the June primary elections. In this new lawsuit filed in federal court in Bangor, GOP lawyer Joshua Dunlap argues that the party has a constitutional right to determine how its nominees are chosen.
There have been other state law regulations of party primaries that have been addressed by the Supreme Court, have been struck down on the very grounds that we assert. So we think that there is some very clear precedent and support of our position.
But Dunlap acknowledges that the U.S. Supreme Court has not taken up a case challenging ranked choice voting on the basis of a political party's constitutional rights. In filing the latest suit, he says the federal court is being asked to expedite the hearing of the case, given that the primaries are about 5 weeks away on June 12th. The party position against ranked choice voting was adopted at the state convention without debate. Party Executive Director Jason Savage says delegates were informed ahead of time and clearly support it.
What we're doing is we're saying we want clarity. We want to know the day of the primary who our nominee is. We don't want to face a three-week or a month and a half or six-week legal battle while the courts try to figure out who got elected or while the Secretary of State tries to figure out who got elected.
Republicans say they're ready to take the matter to higher courts if the district court rules against them. But supporters of ranked choice voting say the GOP is failing to understand the federal legal precedents guiding how states regulate primaries. Kyle Bailey from the Committee for Ranked Choice Voting says it's a political stunt that will not succeed.
I think this is a last-ditch effort by desperate folks who represent a narrow sliver of the most extreme partisans in the state of Maine who don't like ranked choice voting.
Bailey says state courts have already ruled decisively on ranked choice voting and affirmed that it will be used in the primary elections next month.
We've already been in court multiple times now, and the Kennebec County Superior Court and then the Maine Supreme Judicial Court decided this issue. They said ranked choice voting does not run afoul of the Constitution for use in primary elections.
GOP party attorneys say they hope the court will act on the case in the next couple of weeks. But both sides say they're ready to appeal whatever ruling the district court issues, so the question could linger into the summer months. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A bipartisan group of influential Maine lawmakers is telling Massachusetts regulators to reject Central Maine Power's proposal to build a big transmission line through western Maine. Keith Shortall reports.
The 145-mile high-voltage line would bring electricity from Hydro-Quebec's dam system in Canada down to Massachusetts consumers. Now, the bipartisan chairs of the legislature's Energy and Natural Resources Committees are telling the Bay State's utility regulators, keep Maine out of it. Republican State Senator David Woodsum of Waterboro says he's always felt that CMP historically has been a good corporate citizen. But
CMP is no longer CMP as we know it. And it's an international cooperation, and the bottom line is the dollar.
Woodsum says in its negotiations with stakeholders, the company has offered some specific deals to address some of the impacts of the project.
But they're not really concerned about the greater good of the Maine people overall. In other words, the whole state of Maine. And that is my issue, that I think this proposal that they are putting out there warrants them to come to the table and offer the Maine people more than what they're doing.
Woodsum and four other committee chairs have sent a letter to the Massachusetts Department of Public Utilities citing additional concerns that the project may actually increase total greenhouse gas emissions, could result in lost tax revenue and energy investments in Maine, and could have negative impacts on wildlife, forests, and clean water. But State Senator Andre Cushing, one of Woodsum's Republican colleagues on the Energy Committee, says the lawmakers are speaking out of turn. He broadly disagrees with project opponents, including on the question of effects on Maine's environment.
The bulk of this line from Lewiston to the Forks is along existing right-of-way that already carries capacity, because Maine has had a long tradition of, you know, generation from hydro facilities.
CMP's proposed $950 million project is still under negotiation with Massachusetts officials, and after that, it will need to win multiple permits in both states, as well as from the federal government. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Keith Shortall.
Maine's public advocate is calling for a more comprehensive investigation of whether Central Maine Power overbilled customers in the early months of this year and whether it covered up ongoing problems it knew were an issue. Fred Bever reports.
The Portland Press-Herald this week obtained confidential documents CMP filed in an inquiry by the Maine Public Utilities Commission showing that CMP staff were worried problems it was having with its billing system would trigger regulators' scrutiny. They showed that early in the year, company staff found that it did not have the resources necessary to resolve customer complaints. Their bills were unusually high and that they were having numerous problems with the billing system, sometimes problems paying their bills at all. But in April, in testimony to the legislature, CMP officials said they had a handle on the issue and no evidence that anyone had been overcharged. In a press conference that same week, CMP's Beth Nowak-Cohen said the company did uncover some problems with how usage was shown.
So happy to say that it did not impact the bill payment amount, but it was a presentment error, and we have since fixed it.
Regulators have opened a summary investigation to delve into the issue and are hiring a forensic auditor to try to get to its roots. But public advocate Barry Hobbins says the new documents show that a full-blown adjudicatory investigation should be launched.
The company represented that there were no problems. So the question then becomes, you know, what did they know and when did they know it?
The CMP has filed a non-confidential document showing that some 97,000 customer accounts saw either a jump in recorded electricity usage of more than 50% or a jump in charges of 50% or more over a three-month period beginning in December. CMP says so far it's found no evidence that anyone was actually overcharged, but Hobbins says he thinks they have been.
The bills that were sent to people were outrageous. It's not just residential customers. There are major corporations here, and I can't tell you because they're confidential, that never received bills.
In addition to a more rigorous investigation, Hobbins says he will ask regulators to release redacted versions of the confidential filings to protect customer information, but also provide a more transparent window into what happened. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
It's campaign ad season again. And in Maine's 2nd Congressional District, a new secretive group appears to be attempting to tilt the three-way Democratic contest in favor of one of the candidates, Lucas St. Clair. St. Clair's campaign says it has nothing to do with the TV spots blanketing the airwaves. But as Steve Missler reports, there are signs that the group behind the ads has close ties to St. Clair and his mother, Burt's Bees co-founder Roxanne Quimby.
Mainers will soon get a full dose of campaign season as candidates for Congress and governor roll out television ads that sound a lot like this.
Now she's running for governor to continue her fight for Maine families. Janet Mills for governor.
I'm Adam Cody, and we can't waste time.
These kinds of ads that make a case for a candidate are paid for by their campaigns. And if you want to see who's funding those campaigns, you can. But that's not the case with a new group called the Maine Outdoor Alliance, a nonprofit organization that sprung up in late March. It's now running ads about saving the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument from the Trump administration, an issue that's largely been settled since December when Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke said the monument is likely safe from changes. Nonetheless, the ads provide a number to call Zinke so viewers can tell him to leave the monument alone.
Thank you for calling the Department of the Interior's Information and Employee Locator.
The number goes straight to the general number for the Department of Interior, a bureaucracy of over 70,000 employees. But contacting Zinke probably isn't the main purpose of the ads. That's because they focus heavily on the congressional candidate, often credited with making the national monument a reality.
Lucas St. Clair was able to sit with the locals and hear their concerns. He was able to create a plan that worked for everybody.
Lucas St. Clair listened to us. He was very patient and wanted to understand people's concerns. He did an excellent job of explaining it.
Testimonials like that are pretty standard in candidate ads and would make perfect sense in a campaign spot for St. Clair, one of three Democrats in the primary for the 2nd Congressional District seat. St. Clair is often credited with convincing people in the Millinocket region to support the monument, an achievement likely to benefit his campaign. But the Maine Outdoor Alliance doesn't explicitly say it supports St. Clair's candidacy. It's incorporated as a nonprofit, and its ads are classified by the Federal Communications Commission as issue-based, a pair of designations increasingly used by so-called dark money groups that attempt to influence voters, but whose donors can remain secret. Dan Corcoran is a forester who appears in one of the ads, and he says he can't remember the names of the people from Maine Outdoor Alliance who contacted him.
It was not my understanding that it was a campaign ad. It was an ad to identify and build support for the National Monument.
And he says he isn't entirely sure who the Outdoor Alliance is, and that puts him in the same position as the rest of the public. So far, the group isn't responding to requests for comment. But publicly available information offers some clues about who's running the organization. According to articles of incorporation papers filed with the Secretary of State, Nathan D'Esso is the incorporator for Maine Outdoor Alliance. D'Esso runs a business in Scarborough, and according to a 2008 copy of Gould's Academy's alumni magazine, D'Esso was St. Clair's best man at his wedding. D'Esso did not respond to requests for comment. Nor did Brett Kaiser, a Montana-based political consultant linked to the agency the FCC documents show purchased the Maine Outdoor Alliance ads. And Kaiser was hired by Burt's Bees co-founder Roxanne Quimby to lead the monument campaign. And Quimby is St. Clair's mother. She also did not respond to a request for comment.
You know, I don't think there's any question that the people who are doing this are supporters of Lucas and of the effort he put into creating the National Monument.
David Farmer is a spokesman for St. Clair's campaign.
We don't know who's doing this.
Farmer says the campaign is not affiliated with the Maine Outdoor Alliance.
We have not talked with them. We have not coordinated with them in any way. And we were unaware of the ad until we saw it like everyone else.
Farmer also says these kinds of ads are the reality of campaign finance laws that many Democratic candidates say are broken. Among them is St. Clair, who addressed the explosion of spending in dark money groups during a candidate forum held in January.
You know, I think that Citizens United and money in politics has been the ultimate corruption of our democracy in our lifetime.
Farmer was asked if St. Clair planned to denounce the dark money ads running on his behalf.
Yeah, we would prefer that it be a straight contest.
So far, it doesn't look like Maine Outdoor Alliance will let that happen. It just increased its television ad buy to over $300,000 for the first half of May. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Friday, May 4th, 2018. Thanks to Susan Sharon and our digital team, I'm Ed Morin.